acquainted with the power of God. And so when he went into to Canaan and came back, he said, we can take the land, because Joshua remembered what God had already done.
Amen. That's right.
But the other guys said, they didn't get it. And so for every day, they were gone 40 days to go and spy out the land. And because they came back with a negative report, God said, for every day you were in there and you came back with, I'm going to give you 1 year in the wilderness. So that's why they were in there for 40 years in the wilderness. And they thought their kids were going to die in the wilderness because of these giants. God said, your kids are going to survive. You're going to die.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So they all perished. Their corpses lay in the wilderness. Their kids were able to go into the land. So this was Joshua's experience with God. So when we get to the book of Joshua, Joshua is well acquainted with who God is. And we're going to be looking at the end of the book, because the beginning of the book is where God first assigns Joshua. Not assigns Joshua, but Joshua had already been assigned that when Moses would die, Joshua would take over. And so Moses did die, Joshua did take over, and God told him, when you get ready to lead these kids, don't be afraid.
That's right. Amen.
Be not dismayed. Don't be afraid of them. I am going to be with you.
Right.
And there are some words he uses. He says, be of good courage.
Yeah.
Be you strong. Be strong and of a good courage.
Yeah.
So in other words, what he's saying to us is, don't worry about it.
Right.
It looks bad.
Yeah.
And God forbid you get that. I had the virus. I know it's bad. It's really bad. Mm-hmm. You don't want to get it. But if you do, don't worry. God is on your side. God is going to deliver you.
That's right.
From these things that we're going through. So Joshua says some things in the end of this book, the last two chapters. This is his farewell address. When Moses died, he had a man on the wing waiting. God had already assigned a man. Joshua was going to take over. Where Moses brought them out of out of bondage, Joshua would take them in to the promised land.
Amen.
Two different messages, two different ministries, one God, same God. God told Joshua, as I was with Moses, so I'm going to be with you.
Right.
So here we are at the end of the book. This is 50 years after he started leading these children, after he led them into the promised land. 50 some odd years have gone by, and he's about to die.
Right.
When Moses died, you had Joshua. Now Joshua's about to die. Guess who they have now? Nobody. So what Joshua is doing is he's getting them ready, because now you're going to have to trust God. Mm-hmm. Like you've never had to trust him before. There comes times in our lives when we have to trust God. There's nobody else to trust.
That's right.
You remember when the children, Jesus fed the 5,000, and then after they ate, what? They all left? And then Jesus says what? Took to his disciples. Are you going to leave me too?
That's right.
And what did they say?
Where can we go?
Where are we going to go? Mm-hmm. Who else are we going to go to?
That's
you
right.
Have the words of life.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, let's look at, first I'm going to just read you one little thing out of the first chapter, because this is where this all begins. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. I didn't want to do this, but I'm going to. 1 verse 8 and 9 says, this book of the law, and I'll tell you why I read it later. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, mm-hmm. but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Verse 9 says, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Wherever you go, I'm with you.
That's it.
So this is what he told Joshua when he first came into the land, when he first got ready to take him into Canaan's land. Now here we are at the end of the book. We're in the 23rd and 24th chapters. And the same message that God gave to Joshua, Joshua is now going to give to the children of Israel.
Amen.
The 23rd chapter, I'm just going to read that first verse, and I'll tell you why in a minute. The first verse of 23 says, "And it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age." And the only reason I want to read you that is because here is Joshua. He's 110 years old. Joshua has led them into the land. They have conquered all their enemies. When we read about wars in the Old Testament, we're in the New Testament. We don't have Amorites. We don't have Midianites. But we do have enemies. Children of God, we do have enemies.
Yes, we do.
And we're going to talk about those enemies in just a moment. So Joshua is given the words of instruction in the beginning, and he lived by those instructions. And he was able to live a victorious life. God gave him victory over his enemies. God blessed the children of Israel with land, the land that God had promised to Abraham back in chapter 12 of the book of Genesis. He had promised Abraham that he would have he would be a multitude of nations, and that he would have land, his seed would have land. So the 23rd and 24th verse chapters are a farewell. The 23rd chapter is Joshua. He's letting them know, this is where we've come from. God has brought us through all these things. God has brought us out. It was by his mighty hand that we have made it thus far. In the 24th chapter, I'm going to read just a couple of verses at the top, and then we'll go down to the lessons I want to attack. Verse 1 says in 24, "And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and called for the elders of Israel, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods." So, he is going to go ahead. That's not where I wanted to stop. Verse 3 says, "And I took your father Abraham from the other side of..." Let's see, where did I go? Okay, did I read verse 2?
No,
okay, that's what I wanted. Verse 2, it says, "And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood." No, I did read this.
Okay.
I did read it.
Okay.
I wanted you to understand that we're now talking about thus saith the Lord. Chapter 24 was Joshua talking. Now Joshua is going to iterate what thus saith the Lord. Mm-hmm. And what God is going to do is God is just going to add to what Joshua has already said. This is where you have come from. I brought you out of bondage, out of the hand of the Egyptian, out of the hand of Pharaoh and Egypt. And I have brought you into this wonderful land. Mm-hmm. He says to them, you have houses you didn't build.
Right.
You have vineyards you didn't plant.
That's right.
You have victories you didn't plant.
Right.
God had prepared the same thing that God did for Adam. Mm-hmm. When he put him in the garden,
right.
Everything was prepared. He had created the universe. He had created the earth. He had created the garden. And it didn't even rain. He didn't need rain. Mm-hmm. There was a mist over the earth.
Amen.
And all the plants were watered. Everything was prepared. After everything was prepared, then God did, look, let us make man.
Yes.
In our image. And so this is the same thing he's done for the children of Israel. He has given them everything they need in the land. It's all prepared. You just go in and take it.
Yes.
Praise God. God is a good God.
Yes, he is.
So he is giving them his last speech because he is about to die. They need to know where they came from, how they got where they are, how they why they have what they have, and know how to hold on to it. Because if you don't hold on to it, you're going to lose it.
Yes, right. Yes.
Now, if you think about it, Deuteronomy chapter 31, this is where Joshua actually, where God tells Moses that Joshua is going to be his number one man when he's gone. Mm-hmm. And chapter 31, verse 16. It says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and this people will rise up and go a-whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land, whither they go to be among them, and will forsake me, and break my covenant, which I have made with them. Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them, I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they shall say in that day, are not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us?
Wow.
This was in Deuteronomy. So God already knew what they were going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And God gives this is an opportunity for them. And so when we read this chapter, I'm not going to read the chapter. I just want to read a couple of verses out of the chapter. But I did want to hit verse 19 and 20 in that chapter, which is where Joshua is using reverse psychology on them. Here's what he says. He says, and Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord. He's telling them, you can't serve the Lord. He's telling them that because he knows sometimes you have to do kids, you gotta do a little reverse psychology on them and tell them one thing because you know if you put it like that, they're gonna turn it around and say, oh yeah, I can do it, yeah, yeah. And this is what happened. And so Joshua has given them all that they need, and he has given them it. This is a covenant that he is pronouncing here. He is renewing a covenant that was already provided for them.
Amen.
So he's renewing that covenant, and he is letting them know not just what the covenant says, but this covenant requires some commitment on your part.
That's right. Come on.
You have to be committed to this.
Yes.
Like a marriage.
Yes.
Brother Gary, hold up your left hand for me, my brother. No ring. Okay, so I guess that's
I got to forget what
I'm forgetting. This ring is a ring of commitment.
That's right.
This means that I am taken, like it or not. She might want to get rid of me, but I got a ring on, you can't get rid of me. We have a commitment. One with another. And I think that she probably has one on her finger. I don't know. I think there's one on there. But there you go. That's it. So we have, this is what commitment means. Commitment means come what may.
That's right.
No matter what. At the ceremony, you said some things. Most of us did. Some people went to the, to the city hall and probably just. But most of us that got married said some things. I promise.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To do what?
To love. That's the first
honor. To have and to hold in sickness and in health. For richer or for poorer,
yes,
for better or for worse, until when?
Death. Let's do his part.
We made a vow.
Yeah. That's right.
When you made that vow, you were saying in front of witnesses and before God that I am committed to this thing.
Mm.
And this is what he is trying to get across to them, is that this requires commitment on your part.
That's right.
Because there's nobody here now. There comes a time in every situation, in everybody's life, when you have to grow up.
Yes.
Right? You can't be baby all your life.
Right. Yes.
Right.
You have to grow up. Men have to be men.
Yes.
Women, you can't be a little girl all your life.
That's
you
right.
have to grow up.
Amen.
And we have to do what's right. He's letting them know. You know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what you have to do?
Do it.
This is why James, we've been in James for quite a while. James is a wonderful book.
Mm-hmm.
And he says what? Be doers
and not hearers only
of the word.
Mm-hmm.
Not just hearers. Goes in one ear and out the other.
Right.
It's easy to, look in that mirror. I'm so glad about that book. We went into that book. The book of James says that the word of God is like looking in like a mirror.
Mm-hmm.
But the foolish person looks at the mirror, walks away, and forgets what he saw.
Right. Yeah.
What that means is, when you look into the mirror, I'm still using the mirror. When you look in the mirror, the purpose of the mirror And so you can do what? See yourself.
Right.
I don't look in the mirror to see my wife. So I can point the finger at her.
Okay.
And say, you need... No, because I don't see her in the mirror. I see me. The purpose of the mirror is for me to fix the problems, fix my flaws,
Amen.
Fix the things that are errors in my life. And that's what it's for.
Yes.
And that's what this word is. This word is like a mirror.
Yes.
We're supposed to look in here and find what I'm doing wrong.
Right.
Not what you're doing wrong.
Amen.
It's easy. It's so much easier.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus uses an analogy. Why are you who have a splinter in your friend has, your brother has a splinter in his eye.
You got a beam.
You gonna try to point the finger at his splinter, and in your eye you got a beam.
Mm-hmm.
A telephone pole.
Right.
So look in the mirror and look at you.
That's right.
I gotta look, Sister Camille. I gotta look in the mirror. Look at me.
I know it.
I have to look at me.
Amen.
So let's look at the lesson now, because we haven't even got to it. I'm just looking at verses 14 and 15, and that's it. Joshua 24, verses 14 and 15. Verse 14, I'm going to read it real quick, and I think I'm reading New King James. It says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Now keep in mind, Joshua is saying, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord," and he's about to die.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying, "I'm going to serve the Lord what? Until I die."
Yeah.
Oh God.
Can you say that? Can you say you have some commitment in your life that you would say you're going to do that until you die?
All right.
I can say that. I've been next month, 20 will be the 25th, 44 years.
Okay.
Because I'm committed to this.
Amen. Forever.
Wait, for how long?
Forever.
Until I die.
That's right.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you right now, there's no point in me kicking my wife to the curb and go find somebody else.
Right.
Not
that
about.
Would be like
deadly to your life.
That'd be suicide.
Yeah.
For one reason, I've been married to my wife longer than more than half my life. I was thinking. He said it's cheap to keep it. There was a song back in the 70s that said cheap. But,
wow.
Did I hear something? What was that? Our pastor said, "You didn't stop preaching, it's all the meddling." So Joshua, when we read these verses in 14 and 15, we realize that Joshua is teaching them. Because Joshua's life was a testimony.
Yes.
Joshua had this man had a life.
Yes, he did.
He 110 years old, 50 of those years, almost half of those years, leading the people of Israel.
Yeah.
After he had been through what he'd been through, none of us have been slaves in another country that we didn't know, that we didn't live in. None of us have had to go through the wilderness for 40 years walking around in circles. Being led around. Joshua understood what it meant to get fed from with manna from heaven.
Yes.
Joshua understood what it meant to go around in circles. But even in that wilderness place, he recognized God was with him.
Yes. God
even in your wilderness walkings in life, God would still be with you.
Thank you, Lord.
He led them with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Joshua witnessed the Shekinah glory
yes.
of God when the tabernacle was built. And we're reminded that when the tabernacle was built, there was a time when the sacrifices were given and the Shekinah glory came in. It was so powerful that the priest couldn't even go inside.
That's right.
So Joshua knew his God. And he was able to be their spiritual leader and their military leader.
Yes.
This was a man whose life was a testimony. And God will give us the same abilities that he gave Joshua and the children of Israel. He gave them victory over their enemies.
Yes.
He gave them material blessings, because as we read through this chapter, I'm not going to read it, but you can read it. Joshua is getting ready to distribute the land grants, the land parcels,
yes,
to all the tribes, and because he's going to die. Mm-hmm. And they're going to have to leave, go to those places where they've been given their land, and they're going to have to live. And if they're wise, we talk about wisdom, they will live by the precepts that he has laid down. The covenant that they're under is a covenant of holiness.
Mm-hmm.
They're a holy. They were supposed to be a holy people. Why? Because their God is holy.
Amen.
That's right.
I think I just read for you in 19. He says, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God.
Yes.
He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he has done you good.
All right.
That's what he's saying. Something. God, the same God who did you good, if you turn your back on him, guess what? He turns his back on you.
Simple as that.
But wisdom, go to James. Wisdom says, if draw near to God,
and he'll
draw,
near
to you.
That's right.
You worry about this, and we're still talking about the enemies. I mean, no, we're talking about the blessings. Okay, so he gave victory over his enemies. He gave a material blessing. And in that 23rd chapter, verse 1, we read where they had experienced peace.
Yes.
In the land. Joshua had taken them. They had won all the victories of all, and there was now peace in the land. Proverbs 16 and 7 says what? When a man's ways please the Lord,
his enemies will be at peace.
Even his enemies,
that's right,
will be at peace with him.
Yes.
So, so what we glean from all this? Choose to serve the Lord. Joshua said, as for me and my house.
Yes.
And you notice he said, there's two things here. He said, as for me
personally
and my house.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that he was about to die. For him to step, said what he said, we're going to serve the Lord. He's only going to be serving the Lord for what, another day? But he said, my house.
Yeah.
Which means that in his lifetime, he has made sure that his family got the message.
All right.
You don't want to live this life without making sure your kids, your relatives, are aware of who your God is.
Yes.
Because all our relatives do not know the Lord.
That's right.
All our relatives are not saved. But at least you want to make sure that they have been made known that as for you and your house, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And if we do that, if we choose to serve the Lord, if we decide that we're going to do like Joshua and live a faithful life. Joshua lived his faithful life from all beginning right to the end.
Mm-hmm.
Hebrews 3 and 14 tells us, for we believe, this is amplified, it says, we believers have become partakers of Christ, sharing in all that the Messiah has for us, if only we hold firm. It says our newborn confidence. Newborn confidence. That means when you first believed and you trusted him, hold on to that. Because there's going to come storms.
That's right.
Storms are going to come. They're going to want to throw you off course.
Right.
They're going to get you off the track. But you have to have, like the old ships and the new ships still have too. You have to have your boat anchored. That anchor will hold you. Your boat might go around like this, but it ain't going to go far. It's not going far because that anchor is going to hold. And so he says what? Hold firm. The confidence which originally led us to him until the end. From the beginning to the end.
That's yes. right. Alpha and Omega.
That's right. And so we all have a desire. We all see. I think that all that are listening to me and all those that are, we all are seeking a life that is faithful to the Lord.
Yes.
I think that's what we're all here for. I think Amen. That's what our goal is. And we want to get the same results that Joshua got. He got victory over his enemies. We want victory over our enemies. We have three main enemies.
All right.
And I'm going to name the first one first because I'm going to tell you why. The devil, because we're familiar with him.
Right.
And the Bible tells us, it says, we are not ignorant of his devices.
That's right.
We know what he can do.
Yeah.
But the problem we have is that we give him too much credit.
All right.
We give the devil too much credit. Most of the stuff that we give credit to, you know, you're glorifying the devil when you give him credit for stuff that he ain't got nothing to do with. You give him glory to the devil. We know what he does. We know all his little tricks. We know he's the God of this world, which means he's the God of this world, its system, and how it does things. The Bible tells us that he walks around like what?
A roaring lion.
It says like a roaring lion. He's not a roaring lion.
Right.
He's not a lion. Mm-hmm. But it says he walks around like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. And who does he seek?
Yeah,
he seeks the weak. He's looking for the weak ones. He's looking for stragglers. Mm-hmm. Those that are on the fringes. Those that don't go to church. Mm-hmm. Those that don't pray. Those that don't study their Bible. He's looking for the weak ones. That's what lions do. They see a big pack of animals. They are watching. They'll crouch down and they'll watch for that one that's got away from the crowd.
Yeah.
The one that is the small one, the weak one. That's who he goes after. That's what the devil does. So we know what he does. We know he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. We know how to deal with that because what? Jesus said what? I've come that you might have life.
Yeah.
Right.
So we're not worried about that. We know he's a liar.
Yeah.
He's a liar. The Bible says he's a liar from
the beginning.
He's the tempter. He's the accuser of the brethren. And he has so many names. He has names all over. But what we know how to deal with him. James tells us what? Resist the devil.
And he will flee.
And he'll flee from you.
Mm-hmm.
Draw near God, and he'll draw near to you.
Amen.
When
right.
you're near God, the devil is not going to come anywhere near you.
That's right.
Why? Because he don't want anything to do with God. And in the 6th chapter of Ephesians, it tells us to do what? Put on the whole armor.
Yes.
Put on the whole armor. Because the devil is real. We know he's real. Put on the whole armor. There's all this armor to put on. Put it on. And the most important one, what? The sword of the Spirit. Which is what?
The word of God.
Right here. Jesus, when he got tempted for 40 days in the wilderness, what did he use?
He
used the word. It is written, and he defeated the devil.
Yes.
So we have all that we need for him, but that's not our big problem. We have two more enemies. The other ones are the ones you need to focus on. The first one of those is what? The flesh. The flesh.
Yeah, ourselves.
What? Galatians chapter 5, verses 19. To 21 gives us a list of the works of the flesh.
Yes. Amen.
These are the ones you have to worry about. I'm not going to go through that long list. There's a whole bunch of them, but they start out with sexual sins. Those are that's the ones you need to focus on. The devil, we got his number. We ain't worried about him. And the second one is the world. And not what God created. God created the world, so we know that the world is okay. The problem isn't the world. The problem is the devil is the god of it, and he has a system in place because he has a stronghold here. His kingdom is here. And we see it in everyday life. Listen to the news.
Yeah.
and you'll see the results of the fact that the devil is the god of this world.
Amen.
And in the book of 1 John chapter 2 tells us to love not the world.
Yes, thank you.
And that's why. Because this is the god of this world is the devil.
Yes.
Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. He's not talking about the Grand Canyon and these other worlds. There's some places in the world I love to go to. You know, I love mountains. I love the big trees, the sequoias and the redwoods, and I love it. I love to go to places like the Grand Canyon. I love this. This is God's creation. Beautiful. You can see the stars, you know, along some. So, but he says, don't love the way the world works. Don't live by the world's economy. The world has its own economy. Don't live by the world's values. You got a big thing called Planned Parenthood. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. This is part of the world system.
Right.
The world system is atheistic.
Right.
It's antichrist.
Yeah.
This world system is idolatrous. And guess what? It's man-centered.
Yeah.
This is the world. It's man-centered. And when I said idolatrous and then I said man-centered, guess what? The number one idol is idolatry. What's the number one idol that we worship?
Self.
Self. Me. I'm the one I put on the throne every day. Why I say that? Anybody that you put ahead of God, that's your God. That's your idol. You can put yourself on the throne.
Yeah.
The same way the devil did. The devil said, I will
exalt
my throne above the stars of heaven, above the stars of God. I will. Anytime your life revolves around I want, I need, I like, I don't like. When I is the number one, you have put I on the throne. That's an idol. You have made self an idol. Love not the world, neither the things, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Not of God,
but
of the world.
Yes.
So how do we get the victories that we saw that Joshua was able to get? We get them by doing what it says in those verses we read. Verse 14. First thing he said was what? Fear the Lord. James 4 and 10, I think it's 4 and 10. Submit therefore to God. And then again, resist the devil. Submit yourself to God means that you have put yourself in a position of inferiority and God in a place of superiority. Fear the Lord. The wisest man that ever lived, the Bible says, until Jesus came along, was Solomon. And he said what? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The beginning of knowledge. He said, and fools despise wisdom and instruction. And the second thing he says is, get rid of your gods.
Mm-hmm.
Remove your gods.
Right.
Whether it's yourself. Anything you put before God is your God.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you spend more time with?
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily who do you spend. Because if you work 12 hours a day, obviously, you have to work.
Yeah.
But is God on your mind?
All right.
Is God somewhere in there? Have you acknowledged him?
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere along that line during that day? Do you start your day with God?
That's good.
Or do you wait till Sunday?
Mm.
You've gone all week and you haven't thought about God. You haven't acknowledged God. You haven't prayed. You haven't even considered the fact that God woke you up.
Oh my.
He woke you up last week. You didn't thank him. He woke you up Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You never thanked him once?
Wow.
That's something to consider. When we talk about commitment, that's a challenge. Commitment is a challenge. It's a challenge. How many are married? Let me bridge it. How many are not married?
There we go.
Because when and if you ever get married, that commitment requires your heart. You have to put your heart into this. And they were given to put, you have to commit to this. This is serious. When you get ready to marry that woman, when I got married, I was 22 years old. What Joshua did here, he gave them not only what the covenant, or what the covenants was the, what did I just say? Yeah, what the covenant was about. He also gave them the stipulations. He gave them the
boundaries.
Boundaries. What's the word I'm trying to say?
Requirements.
No. I got it here somewhere. And I don't see it. He gave them. Stipulations is the only word that's popping into my head right now.
Okay.
He let them know. Okay. How many minutes? 1 minute?
No, keep going.
Oh, okay. He let them. He let them know. Okay, good. What you had to look forward to. This is no joke here. You are going to, when we talk about commitment, you need to have all the information in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
Before you sign on the dotted line.
Come on. Read the fine print.
Read the fine print. Because there's things going on. When I got married, at 22, I hadn't read no fine print.
Okay. Mm, you just read her fineness.
I didn't know there was a fine print. I didn't know that there was a contract. Somebody caught me over the head and made me sign.
That's funny.
The love bug.
The love bug had me going, okay? And it didn't take long for me to figure out, wait a minute here. This isn't what I signed up for.
You gotta go home, remember? You still gotta go home, Meta Jones.
I know.
Okay.
So, but, well, 44 years next month.
Praise God.
Hopefully.
Praise
the Lord.
So how can we get this victory? Fear the Lord. Remove those gods. Worship him. John 4:24 says that God is spirit.
Yes.
Yes.
And they that worship him must worship him in spirit
and in
truth. How can we get this victory? Keep his word. Psalm 119:11 says, thy word have I hid in my heart that what? I might not sin against God.
Amen.
And that same chapter, verse 105, says, thy word is a lamp
unto
my feet.
There you go.
And a light unto my path.
Yes.
Trust in the Lord and do good. The 37th Psalms says, trust in the Lord, do good. Delight in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for the Lord. So the question as I sit down, as I get ready to dismiss, I guess, what is it? Okay. What do we need to do to serve the Lord? What if you're sitting in your house, or what if you're a new Christian? How do I go about that?
That's good.
Serving the Lord. How do we serve the Lord in this COVID environment where we have to stay in the house? There's a lot of what we might call restrictions. Let me tell you something about God. Let me tell you about his word.
Freedom.
His word is not bound.
That's right.
You can't keep his word because there's walls surrounding us. Guess what? We did it this morning.
Yeah.
We prayed.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
For people that are not here.
Yeah.
And God is already at work.
Yes, yes, he is. Yes. Hallelujah.
He's already on the case.
That's right.
He said before you call.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
This is the God we're talking about. This is why we're here. This is why it's such a good thing to look at somebody like Joshua as an example of faithfulness to the God. Faithfulness to the God all the way through in the good times, in the bad times, when things are going well, when things are not going well. Stay faithful.
Yes.
Hold on.
That's good.
Hold on to God's unchanged hand because God will never fail you.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
Those Hebrew boys had something.
Yeah.
They had something. Because they said, even if
God
doesn't deliver us.
He's still able.
We know he
can.
Thank
you, Jesus.
And
Hallelujah.
He's still going to be on the case.
Yes.
When
God.
This whole election thing is over,
thank you, God.
Do you know what?
God is still good.
You know what? When you go to the, you got to go to the poll, like it or not. Mm-hmm. You got to go. Vote your conscience. Mm-hmm. But when you're all done, vote for Jesus.
That's right. Yes.
Because he's going to take care of it. I don't care who your president is, okay?
Yeah.
God, Jesus is still on the throne. God is still on the throne.
That's right.
And let me tell you something. I don't care who's your president. Praying for him.
Yes.
That's right.
Like him or not, you have to pray. Why I say that? Because the Bible says it.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
The Bible says that. It says you pray for those that have the rule over you. God lifts them up.
Yeah.
He takes them down.
That's right.
And he lifts them up.
Yes.
God bless you.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. For me and my house,
yes.
We're going to serve the Lord. How about you? How about your house? Amen. Right. We're going to give God the glory. We're going to give God praise. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, this is exciting to me. As Elder Warren was preaching, I had the opportunity to preach at another fellowship this morning, and I preached out of Joshua chapter 1.
Yes, you did.
Verse 9, praise the Lord. So God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. But you know what? Listen, there's a praise in the house. How many know that prayer changes things?
Yes.
Is anybody in here know that prayer changes things?
Yes.
So when service opened up, and even in power hour, we were praying for Sister Patricia's husband.
Mm-hmm.
We was praying that this heart attack he had, that God would bring him through. And then I looked back a few minutes ago and I saw my wife's hands going like this here.
Yeah.
And I saw her waving, wiping tears from her eyes because the word came in that Brother David is going to be all right. Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Can we give God some praise? He's a right now God. He's a right now God. I believe the old song say, hold to his hand. God's unchanging hand. Praise the Lord. So before we pray the benediction, if some of you are going to have to put the baby down, I'm looking for an impromptu praise old school medley. Come on, Sonia, my daughter in the Lord. Camille, come on up here. Elder Jones, come on up here. Sister Amanda, get us cranked up in here. We're going to close out here on a high note. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Jesus, Jesus, when the sun goes down. me.
Something down inside me telling me it's okay.
Thank you, Jesus.
to God.
Said I'm all cried out.
Praise God. Praise God. All right.
I was like, all right, y'all.
Y'all can come off mute.
See, I kept going.
Y'all should be off mute now.
Praise the Lord.
That's crazy. That was just here.
God bless you, saints.
Yeah,
praise the Lord.
Hey.
God bless you. Hey, Sister Janet. Hi, Mother Lee.
Hi.